Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is training, and we're going to discuss weight selection for warm-ups and working sets. So this is definitely helpful for anybody that's currently now kind of training themselves, and maybe they typically would work with a trainer or work with training partners, just like change up in their training environment. They may have to, and also maybe like change up in their normal exercises, that's for sure. So anytime you change your environment or change your equipment, you sometimes have to change over to new exercises. And with any of that kind of inconsistency going on, it can be hard to figure out what is the right kind of way to warm up and what's the right way to select weights for working sets, so which are the sets that kind of make the big difference. Say they allow us to make the adaptations we really want. Also, if somebody's just kind of new to this, if you're a trainer as well, hopefully this will be helpful. Just in general, we wanted to kind of discuss how you go about picking weights for warm-ups and working sets. So I want to go right into it. As typical. So hopefully you guys don't mind all these short intros. Makes up for the rambling I do later on in the podcast. But for small exercises or exercises that are like kind of like body weight based or like therapy bands, just kind of like light resistance, they typically for your warm-ups on those, you're going to just need some effort to warm up the muscle and joint related to the movement. And then an effort to practice the technique to make sure that the technique will be correct when you do the working sets. So an example of this might be, say, dumbbell lateral raises. Typically for dumbbell lateral raises, you're not going to be able to do it very heavy. However, there is an implement involved, like the dumbbells. So how light do I start? How heavy do I go? Those can be questions even on small exercises. Typically with small movements like that, about one warm-up set or one practice set, whatever you want to call them, is usually pretty good. So maybe I know like maybe 12-pound dumbbells are challenging for me at sets of 10. So I just kind of pick up the 8s, I do a set of 10, then I go to my 12s. Maybe if I'm strong enough to go to like 20 pounds for sets of 10, I just try 10 or 12-pound dumbbells, get 10 in. That gives me a little bit of blood flow into the shoulder joint, gives me a practice set for the technique that I need, and then I can go right into my 20-pound dumbbells. So the challenge becomes, if something is heavy enough that it has chance to cause stress. Sorry about the background noise. Hopefully you guys can't hear that too much. But if something is heavy enough that it's going to cause stress into the joints, the idea of a practice set or warm-up set is to lessen that shock load into the joint. So if I'm going to try to go in and squat, say, 225 pounds, if I just walked in the gym, put 225 pounds on the bar and squatted it, I can have the physical strength to do that. But just doing it without any warm-up or any kind of technique practice can be very kind of shocking, very detrimental, and very hard on our joints and connective tissue. So a lot of times this is kind of common in like the lifting world is that younger crowds will sometimes come in and just kind of do big lifts right away. So you might have an 18-year-old that walks in and they try to like just come right in the gym. They put a big plate on the bench press and they try benching 135 the first thing they do. Then you get people in their 30s and 40s who look at those young 20-year-old punks, tell them they're idiots because their elbows and shoulders are going to hurt. And then you have the 20 and 30-year-olds who will spend time doing a little bit of extra movements, maybe press the bar for a set of 10, then 95 for a set of 10. Then they might go to 135 after that. So the idea that we're trying to cover when we're doing warm-ups is that we want to try to ease our joints and muscles into the efforts of the working sets. So the working sets are the ones that create stress on our body. They're the sets that kind of elicit the change that we want. And the idea of working sets is that we present a challenge to our body that it currently struggles to meet. Meaning it can do it, but it doesn't like doing it, and it can barely do it, and maybe it breaks down at the very end of trying to do it. But it's a very stressful, very challenging effort on the muscles, and that equates to a very stressful, very challenging effort on the joints as well. So that's what the idea of a working set is it truly tests our current body. Well, If you walk into the gym and the first thing you do is a stressful test, that can be very abrupt, and you might not have had enough practice to get your technique right to be able to maximally perform to your best abilities during the working set. So the idea of the warm-ups is to ease that stress on the joints themselves, kind of like soften that blow before you get under the big working sets. And it helps with kind of practicing the technique so you have more efficiency at the working set and can actually perform to your best. So that is what we're going to try to do with warm-ups. So again, small exercises, which might be like just bodyweight crunches, maybe bodyweight squats, walking lunges, lateral raises, just kind of like lighter, smaller movements. Those might only require one or two practice sets. And in general, you would pick a weight about 50% of what you think your working weight will be and practice that for the same number of reps as the working sets. And then you might move to 75% of what the working set weight should be and again use the same rep count. So if I know, for example, I'm going to use 20-pound dumbbells for sets of 10, or at least I assume I'll be using 20-pound dumbbells for sets of 10, then I might try the 10-pound dumbbells for 10, the 15-pound dumbbells for 10, and then move to 20 for 10. So that would be about a good kind of baseline thing to follow, is 50%, 75%, then go to your 100 of what you think your working weight will be. And you want to match the rep count of the working sets, so that way it gives you the same kind of feel and experience as what you're about to go into and be tested. So if I do a working set for just three reps and then try to do 10, if I do a warm-up set or practice set for three reps and then try a working set of 10, it's going to feel very different on the body, and I might not have practiced my technique enough specific to how I would need my, hold on one second, please. I'm going to say I'm just doing a podcast real quick. No, you're good. That's okay. Okay, I'm back. So, sorry about that. There was someone outside the door I needed to talk to. So, what I was trying to get to, hopefully I didn't lose myself here, but if I match the repetitions of the warm-up sets to the working sets, it better matches the sensation of what I'm preparing myself for. So not only do we want to practice the technique of the movement, we also want to practice the sensation, the feel of the movement as well. So this makes sense that if I'm going to try to get ready for a marathon, I'm not just going to practice by running 1 mile sprints. It's not the same. Can 1 mile sprints get me in great aerobic condition? Oh, hell yes. So they can get you in a good aerobic condition to be aerobically fit for a marathon, but they won't get you experientially fit for a marathon. So it won't have the same feel. So that's going to be the idea we're looking for, is with small movements, you can match the repetitions of the working sets and doing weight selections of, say, roughly 50% for a set, then 75% for a set. Now, what happens if your small movement is body weight? You can't do 50% of your body weight and then 75% of your body weight. So those are going to be kind of like guidelines that might not be able to follow. But you can try the movement maybe a little bit slower. You can go ahead and maybe try to like lessen the reps. So if I'm going to do a movement for 10 repetitions, I can maybe just do 2 or 3 and kind of get a feel for the pathways and then jump right into it. So there is some variance in how you would select this. So if it's a weighted movement, we can take those guidelines of 50%, 75%, and matching reps. If it's a non-weighted movement, then you can just go at a slower pace or try less reps, just giving yourself a lessened, challenged type of feel to get the idea of the movement before you would then jump into the big challenge of the movement. Okay, so that's warm-ups for small exercises. Now we have warm-ups for big exercises, which would be like squats, deadlifts, overhead press, bench press, like freaking stone lifts, tire flips, log presses, whatever else everybody does. So barbell clean and press, things like that. So these are big movements. They're multi-muscle, multi-joint. Usually they're really heavy compared to smaller exercises. So this might be stuff we're doing around our body weight or above our body weight. So typically for these, the things we're going to look at trying to focus on, or what we're trying to make sure that we address, is a joint and muscle kind of warm-up, We want to then have like kind of technique practice, and we want to spike our kind of adrenaline system. So we want to spike our fight or flight system. So what this means is we have an extra concern. For small exercises like lateral raises, bicep curls, or like certain bodyweight exercises, we really don't have to worry about kind of being like psyched up, ready to go, super aggressive, and being kind of like spiking up that fight or flight, that central nervous system type feel. But for big movements, it's absolutely important. You do want to make sure that you're aggressive, you're ready, and you're like mentally into the movement. So for example, if I'm going to try to deadlift 600 pounds, I can't really nonchalantly walk up and grab that, kind of BS with some friends, and then pick it up haphazardly or with okay, so-so effort. That does take kind of focus. It takes more aggression. We have to kind of pay more nervous system attention to those type of movements. So that's why we have that extra concern of fight or flight. So in conjunction with this podcast, I'll be sharing an image that I used, which is like a chart that I talked through with a fellow trainer. And we were discussing kind of the pros and cons and different theories of warming up for big movements. And we were talking over the number of sets that they would warm up, for example, for a bench press. So maybe they were warming up to 140-pound bench press, and you'll see this in the paper. So they were figuring out, okay, what are the weight selections I would use to get me ready for 140-pound bench press? And they had to pick enough warm-up sets that were sufficient for a joint and muscle warm-up, enough sets that were sufficient for technique kind of feedback and feel of the technique, enough sets that targeted the fight or flight system and made sure they were ready for their top end, like max effort set. But they had to do all of that without doing too much or too little. So that was our goal. Was their challenge was to say, okay, what are the right warm-up weights I would pick to let me address all three of those needs, but not overdo or underdo any of them? In general, what you're looking for is before your top effort, max effort set, most people would benefit from having 5 to 9 warm-up sets before that top effort set. Now, this isn't debatable, and there's absolutely changes and differences you'd make based on individual circumstances. However, the range of 5 to 9 sets is pretty good. So if I was going to bench 140, I might do the bar 65, 85, 105, 125, and then 140. And you'll see in the paper that's what this person like chose. So that was their kind of warm-up sets. There were pros and cons to what they picked, and we talked about maybe adding more kind of top-end sets. So they might do the bar, then maybe 95 pounds, 115, 125, and then 140. And maybe that would be a pro or a con in the sense that it gave them less meaningless kind of bottom weight sets that weren't heavy enough to provide any feedback, technical feedback. But maybe it gave them an extra kind of upper middle range set to give them still the warm-up they need, but give them more technical feedback. So again, this is something where when we're looking for warm-ups, we want enough workload that it warms up our joints. We want enough workload that we practice the feedback of the technique. And what that kind of word feedback means is the warm-up selection has to be heavy enough that we can feel if we're doing it well. So if I try to lift a feather, it really doesn't matter if I'm in my toes or on my heels. Doesn't matter if I'm squeezing my back or squeezing my, or not. Doesn't matter if I'm breathing right or not breathing right. So if something is so light, it doesn't really give us feedback on our technique quality because there's no resistance to the positioning. There's no resistance to the cues and techniques of feedback. So really, technical proficiency or technical benefit only happens under weight loads that are heavy enough to provide feedback to our muscles, where something has enough level of resistance that we can feel if we're tight or not, whether we're in our heels or not, whether we're in our position or not. So whether we can tell if we have good form or not. So any weight selection, any warm-ups that are performed below a weight heavy enough to really feel in your muscles, they do not count towards technique development because you don't really know what you're getting right or wrong. So too often people think they're getting technique just by doing a million warm-ups, whenever half the warm-ups they're doing are so damn light they're useless. So you really need to kind of do the minimum needed in the light part, and then do more or pay more attention to what you do in the upper medium. So the lighter weights, they are good to get your joints and muscles warmed up. Then kind of the middle weights are good for developing technique feedback. Then the top end weights, like the weights one or two right before your max effort set, they're good for developing the fight or flight. They kind of something that's heavy enough that makes you feel like, oh shit, like this is getting real. I better get ready for this. It kind of like sparks a little bit of like adrenaline in you. You can feel your body getting antsy now, and it starts kind of revving up for the effort. So those are pretty much kind of, you can think of them as the ranges of warm-up weights. So the light stuff just gets us a general warm-up. The medium stuff gives us some technical feedback. The heavier, still warm-up stuff, but the heavier warm-ups give us that fight or flight benefit. So in which of those three areas you would spend more time in depend on which ones you need more work at. So if you've already done a couple other exercises and you're already pretty much warmed up, you don't really need to spend a lot of time in the bottom one-third of the warm-up weight. However, if you have really good technique, this is something you've done a million times over, and you kind of retain technique really well, then you don't need to spend too much time in the middle. If you're already fired up and excited and ready to go, then you don't need to spend too much time at the top. So these ranges are individual dependent. So typically for muscle and joint warm-ups, we say that you should do 5 or 9 sets somewhere in there before you do your max effort set. For technique feedback of those 5 or 9 sets of warm-ups, you want to make sure at least 3 to 5 are heavy enough that you can feel if you're in good position or not. And then of those 5 to 9 warm-up sets, you want 1 to 3 at most to be heavy enough to cause that fight or flight, like, oh shit, I better get ready kind of response. So in general, you need 5 to 9. 3 to 5 of those should be heavy enough to feel your form. And 1 to 3 of them should be so heavy that it kind of forces you to wake up and get ready for the workout. Okay? So that's some general guidelines to follow and just some concepts to follow. Now for working sets, what weight do we need for the working sets? There's two rules of thumb we're going to kind of talk over real quick, then I'll give you a podcast to go listen for more detail. One rule of thumb is it should feel like homework. Meaning, it should be difficult, but it should be doable. In podcast 110, we talk more in depth about the homework analogy in regards to training, in the sense that if I wanted a kid to learn math and I gave them one homework problem, it's doable, but it's not difficult. They're not going to learn much from one problem. If I send them home and I give them 1,000 problems to do tonight that are due by tomorrow, that is difficult, but it is not doable, okay? So when we think of the weights that we select, we should select things that are difficult but doable. Things that challenge us to maintain good form and to be able to reach the rep count that we have or the time and attention goal, whatever the goal of that working set is, it should be a really big, difficult challenge to be able to meet that. However, you should be able to meet it, meaning that's the doable part. It should be doable. You can get there barely, that kind of idea. Then what we want to do is we want to make sure we force progressions over time. If you're using the same weight you used 6 months ago, you have the same body you had 6 months ago. So if you're reaching a plateau in results, you need to pay attention to what you're doing in your efforts. If you want your results to increase, your efforts have to increase. So you have to track progressions. In podcast number 70, way, way, way back when, in podcast number 70, titled Importance of Progressions, we talk about how to make progressions per workout and why they're important. But in general, if I want my body to continue to adapt to the stimulus has to be continually adaptive. If I just do the same things all the time, my body will adjust a little bit right away, but then once it becomes used to it or bored with it, then it doesn't change. So most commonly, This is 100% true. So write this down if you want. What most people do mistake-wise, and why they maybe never really make much improvement beyond the first, say, 6 months to a year, is they get comfortable in their uncomfortableness. Meaning they will challenge themselves in their workouts, but they don't ever challenge themselves to a new degree. If you ask them, are they working hard? They would say yes, and they would pass a lie detector test saying they were working hard. But are they working harder than they did last week, last month, 3 months ago? Is the challenge they're placing on themselves getting progressively harder? That is the only way that you will get progressively better results. So these are things to consider. When we're picking working set weights, we need to pick something that's difficult but doable. And then we need to track our progressions and force progressions over time. So that level of difficult continues to go up, so our ability to do it continues to go up, meaning we get more and more results. So this is a little bit of information. I might have got lost a little bit in that warm-up part. Sorry, there was some extra stuff going on. But hopefully it gave you some good food for thought. And it gives you an idea of how to better select weights. So like we said, for warm-ups, for small exercises, you just need to do one or two. You know, if it's a weighted exercise, pick maybe like a 50% weight, then a 75% weight, and match the reps of the working set. If it's a body weight or a non-weighted exercise, maybe do half the reps, maybe do it half the speed. Just give yourself a chance to kind of practice it before you go to full effort. If it's a big exercise, like squat, bench, deadlift, overhead press, stuff like that, where you're moving your body weight or more, then you typically want to have 5 to 9 total sets before your max effort set. 3 to 5 of those sets should be heavy enough to feel your technique and feel the muscles working to maintain good position. 1 to 3 of those warm-up sets should be so heavy that they kind of spark your fight or flight system. They make you wake up for the day, get some adrenaline going. Then in our working sets, we want to pick stuff that's difficult but doable and force progressions over time. So hopefully this was helpful. If you have any questions or if you'd like to kind of write up an idea of what you do and then we can kind of look it over and let you know if that's a good idea, just reach out to us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. So we're always going to be happy to help. We want to make sure that you get the most out of your training. And we appreciate you listening to the podcast. So it's been 22 minutes and 37 seconds. So I hope that you can get something from this. And if you haven't gotten exactly what you need, email us so that way you do. Ask us any question you have. There's no dumb question. Just ask anything you want. We'll make a podcast about it if other people might need it as well. So it's a great way to help others if you are feeling confused in your own way. So you never know who else might be confused, but they're not speaking up. So maybe you can be brave enough, speak up, get the answer, and then it'll help other people as well. So thank you to those who do email into the podcast. It's awesome to hear from people. And super appreciative to the patrons of the podcast who help us cover like the cost of hosting and all the other costs associated with this stuff. So thank you very much. Sincerely, thank you very much. Because it helps so, so, so much. Really appreciate it. Cool. Okay. If you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.